This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Leo Tolstoy once wrote, quote, "Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." That's especially true in divorce and child custody proceedings. Though Massachusetts has long held that custody should be awarded in the best interests of the child, one Massachusetts organization is pushing to change the basis of custody law here. They are arguing that joint custody, where divorced parents share in the role of raising their children, should be the standard. And they have a bill on Beacon Hill that would just make exactly that case. Others argue that the legislation goes too far and would limit judges' flexibility on cases that are, by their very nature, highly individualized. So, listeners, do you think fathers, in this case, have been treated unfairly when it comes to custody cases in Massachusetts? Are there problems with a presumption of joint custody? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now in the studio is Dr. Ned Holstein. He's founder of Fathers and Families. He's also a faculty member at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. And it's Fathers and Families, it's one of the groups that has been advocating for the joint custody change in the law on Beacon Hill. Dr. Holstein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
Also with us is Charles Kindergan. He teaches family law at Suffolk University and is the author of several Massachusetts family law books. Professor Kindergan, are you with us?
I am.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Welcome to Radio Boston. We'll also be hearing in a moment from another gentleman who's a psychologist and a guardian ad litem who's been involved in several child custody cases. But Dr. Holstein, if I can just start with you, can you give us the brief outlines on what the bill that's pending on Beacon Hill, how that would change child custody laws as they currently are in Massachusetts?
The message of our bill is so simple. It's we're fit parents, most of us. We love our children. Our children love us. They need us. And we just want to be involved in helping to raise them. And what we've learned in the past 20 years is that the old concept that the child needed one home doesn't work. The children themselves long for their missing parent. They have a hole in their heart. If you ask children, as has happened in 16 studies, what they want is to have lots and lots of time with both parents. And that's all our bill does. And in fact, it does not diminish judicial discretion, and it does not replace the best interests of the child standard with some other standard.
Well, let's be clear here, because if I understand the bill correctly, what it does state is that unless there's some kind of clear indication of domestic violence or something, that the presumption should be joint custody, and a judge in a custody case would have to provide written reasoning if he or she chooses not to award joint custody. Is that correct?
Not quite right. The bill says that the only thing the judge has to do to depart from the presumption of joint physical custody of the children is to write down his or her reasons. Now, I don't think that's an onerous burden for someone who's making a decision that affects the intimate lives, the hearts, and the love of parents and children. There's no evidence bar that has to be surmounted. All the judge has to do is say, I think for this child, single or sole custody to one parent would be better for the following reasons. That's all they would have to do under this bill. So it's a very mild nudge in the direction of getting both parents involved instead of the archaic practices that are still persisting from the past, in which judges have been taught that they had to choose one custodial parent.
Charles Kindergan at Suffolk University, you see this a little differently, I believe. You see this as judges having their hands tied. Is that correct?
Yes, I do in some ways. And certainly everything that man just said is true about parents loving their children. And certainly judges take that into account, and they should take that into account. But this particular bill, I think, is troublesome to me, that in the sense that it creates a legal presumption. Now, that's very powerful in the law. If a legal presumption will normally carry the day unless it's been rebutted. And the bill said that presumption can be rebutted only by a showing, written finding, that the child would be harmed as a result of shared legal or physical custody. That's extraordinary. Many years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States had a case where Illinois presumed that a father of a child born out of wedlock was not a fit father. And they reversed that, and they said that presumptions in the law are, of course, an easy way to resolve cases. But that's not what family courts are about. Family courts are about an educated, thoughtful judge making a resolution of a custody dispute based upon the facts.
Let me bring another voice in here quickly. He's Steve Nissenbaum. He's a psychologist and guardian ad litem with the Comprehensive Family and Evaluation Center at Tufts Medical Center. He's also a staff member at Massachusetts General Hospital. Steve Nissenbaum, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So guardian ad litem means you've represented actually children, I believe, in custody cases?
A guardian ad litem is somebody who's appointed by the judge to help provide information that will be useful to the judge in making decisions in the best interests of the child.
Now, so let me ask you, it seems to me that many, if not most, custody cases in Massachusetts are somehow resolved between the parties, whether it be through the court system or otherwise. But it's those maybe smaller number of cases that don't find amicable resolution that really would come under the purview of this bill if it were to be passed. The judge would say, okay, you have to have joint custody. Now, aren't those the cases that are more likely to be the very fractious ones with long-term battles between the mothers and fathers anyway?
Well, it's possible. And the implications of creating a presumption the proof is in the pudding, depending on what that leads to in the way of conflict or resolution of conflict. If it creates the circumstances under which the parties can resolve things more quickly and reduce the economic burden and the burden of extended, protracted conflict, then it could be in the best interest of the child. On the other hand, there are risks involved that it will become a focal point for further antagonism between the parties.
So. Well, we've got a lot of people who want to join us on this topic. Bill's calling from Quincy. Welcome to Radio Boston, Bill.
Hi, thank you for having me on. This question is directed to Professor Kindergren. Sir, I can tell you from experience that under shared parenting, I can just about guarantee you that both parents would behave better, if not much better, under shared parenting, as both would be subject to sanction over subsequent misbehavior as regards their children. Would you care to respond to that?
Absolutely. Many, many cases, you're absolutely right. Not in all. The problem with this bill is it applies universally in terms of creating this presumption. By the way, we should make clear we're focusing really here on joint physical custody. Joint legal custody is normally not a problem. Both parents are interested enough to have some continuing role in decision making as to their child. But if we're talking about physical custody, it's just not appropriate for every case. That's why we have judges. They're trained, they're well educated, and they're people, and at least in my experience, and I've taught many of the judges here in Massachusetts, they're people who really care about the individuals who appear before them and about the children. And they don't want to do anything that's going to exacerbate the problems, as the doctor just suggested.
On that note, Mr. Kindergren, let's get another call in here because
sure. Okay.
We have Anne who's speaking to this. Anne's calling from Bedford, New Hampshire. Welcome to Radio Boston, Anne.
Hi. I've been teaching middle school for a long, long time. And what I see is, well, two things. I do see kids who feel abandoned by the non-custodial parent and who long for that time with them. But I also do see kids who have, you know, amicably divorced parents and who have to divide their time between two homes, often switching in the middle of the week, who in middle school find that incredibly difficult. They don't know where their stuff is. They don't know whose house they're going to. They don't know how they're getting home from their sports that day. It's such a difficult way.
Anne, looks like your phone's breaking up, but thank you so much for your call. Ned Holstein with Fathers and Families, let me turn that question to you. So Anne's seeing firsthand some of the effects of joint physical custody. It leads me to wonder, and other people have written about this before in the past, is this a case where instead that fathers may be putting their interest before the best interest of the child?
No, absolutely not. Yes, it is hard on children, but the question is compared to what? And the compared to what, as under the current circumstances, compared to basically not having one of their parents in their life. There are 16 studies now put forward by a women's studies professor, actually, Linda Nielsen at Wake Forest, showing that what children want is to have equal or near equal time with both parents. So, yes, it's hard on them, but the alternative is worse. The alternative is they don't get to see one of their parents. if the average child would crawl over broken glass to see their absent parent, they long for that parent, they want that parent, they love that parent, and they are hurt by our current practices of the courts, which are archaic. And that's why we need to do something about it. And we've fashioned what we believe is the mildest possible bill to nudge courts in that direction without tying any judge's hands, without diminishing judicial discretion, and just saying, look, the vast majority of parents are fit, and the lawyers and the psychologists need to get out of the way of the fit parents and just let them continue to be parents as they were before the divorce.
Well, Steve Nissenbaum, as one of those psychologists, do you see this as the mildest possible bill, or are there other alternatives that we haven't explored here?
Well, a lot of states are moving away from the terminology of custody altogether and just talking about parenting plans, in which the judge and the parties are encouraged to be creative, figure out what's going to work best for them, and to come actually into court, ideally, with some level of agreement about that. And the term custody, in fact, sort of implies a kind of property ownership, and it may often foster some of the struggle. I suppose that the rebuttable presumption is meant to try to decrease that by giving the court some guidance, but I think it remains an empirical question what will actually happen and whether it's necessary. It is the case that there are different challenges for the more time parent and for the less time parent. There are different kinds of gratification. There are different skills that are necessary, and kids are different. Some mm-hmm. kids are more resilient and can adapt to the situation and would prefer to take that in stride rather than to not have the time with the parent.
Well, we should note that there actually is some evidence of popular support in Massachusetts for legislation like this, because I believe it was back in 2004, voters were asked in a non-binding referendum whether they'd endorse a law that requires judges to presume shared physical custody, and that passed by some 85%. So that's a popular take on this. But in reality, Ned Holstein, it looks like this bill, at least in this legislative session, probably won't make it very far. You've gone through this several other times before. Are you seeing a slight shift in terms of legislative support on your behalf, or do you feel like you've still got a long way to go?
Legislative support continues to grow. 86% of Massachusetts voters understand in their hearts that this is good for kids. This isn't a remote topic like subrogation of rights or bonding authority or something. They understand kids. They think this is a great idea for kids. And legislative support is growing. Our members are contacting their legislators. They need to keep doing that. We've got about 5,000 members in Massachusetts, and they're pushing for this, and we will get this.
Well, if the bill makes it beyond committee where it is right now, eventually we will absolutely come back to this topic. Dr. Ned Holstein, founder of Fathers and Families, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also, Steve Nissenbaum, psychologist and guardian ad litem with the Comprehensive Family and Evaluation Center at Tufts Medical Center.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for being with us. And Professor Charles Kindrigan at Suffolk University Law School, specializing in family law and also author of several volumes of Massachusetts Family Law Practice. Professor Kindrigan, thank you for being with us on Radio Boston.
You're most welcome.